Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat. Just a reminder, we drop episodes every other Wednesday of the month, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and other audio platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, and many, many more. Also, as many of you know, we go on a summer tour every summer, and we're hitting over 20 locations. With that being said, we host a lot of camps and clinics, as well as tournaments and events. If you guys want to be a part of those events and also camps and clinics, click the link in the bio. Everything's there. Also, we just released new merch, including this flag, Live Out of System here. Some new, really nice dry fit material, long sleeves, some joggers, sweatsuits, many, many, many more, as well as our new slunks, the silks, are all available on our store, atsum.net, or go to the link in the bio. Okay, guys, let's get to the episode. You can handle the heat. Yeah. You can handle the heat. Booyaka Shaw, welcome back to the episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat. It is your boy, G-Swizz, all the way in northern Germany in Lüneburg, Nords Hamburg, wrapping up the season. Of course, next to me I have CEO Joe, big CEO Joe, and, well, he is from Chaumont, France, but now he's in Saint-Nazaire, France, which is in the west of France, yeah. Over there. Joey, how are we doing, man?
Good, yeah. It's on the Atlantic Ocean, like right on the coast here. So we're doing good. Last match of regular season for us.
Good man. And then, of course, we have Hawaii's chosen child, the Micah Ma in Ankara, Turkey. But he is now in Istanbul, Turkey, to play Fenerbahce, a very big sports club in Turkey. Mike, how are we doing, man? And, of course, we have the ultimate people's champion, the Danger Rager himself. He literally said, his frat bros came up to him and said, dude, we have a fat Danger. We got to absolutely start ripping right now. But he said, no, guys, I have a podcast. Business first, pleasure later. We have the Jake Myers, also recovering from St. Fratty's Day. Cal Poly, slow. Get with it. Jake Myers, how are we doing, man?
Mr. Ranger, tell me.
All right. Guys, I finished my last. Yesterday, I had my last ever undergraduate class.
Oh, my God. What are you, like, 17 now?
Really?
Done.
So what are you doing the rest of the semester?
Really?
No, so we're on the quarter system. And for my major, you finish in winter quarter, because then in spring quarter, you have to do an internship like 40 hours a week, and that's your last college credit class. But it's obviously like not a class, there's no teacher or anything. So it was my last ever college class. My teacher, he was like one of my first teachers here, because he teaches like the intro class for my major and then senior project. So he was like crying in class, and he took a picture of all of us, and it was kind of crazy. Like, people were super emotional after class. But
what's your major?
Sport management.
What kind of internship are you gonna do?
The same kind of thing that I'm doing now. I'm just going to be like a development intern for
Raging.
Intern for Cal Poly Athletics, which is like donor relations.
Jake, you have one sentence, because I don't want to spend too much time on it. How was St. Fratty's Day at SLO? One sentence, go.
I don't know if you guys saw TikTok, but just check TikTok if you want to know how St. Fratty's Day was. Look up
Cal
Poly St. Fratty's Day.
It was a movie.
We got posted on Barstool Sports, not for good things. One of the dorms got $20,000 worth of damage to the dorms.
Yeah.
My roommate's sister, my associate, his sister.
Don't incriminate anybody on this podcast.
Right? I'm not going to. She's in the dorms, but she was already gone by the time everything happened. So like later in the day, she was like, she called us. She's like, guys, I can't go back into my dorms. Like, they won't let us back in. So we had to like go get her and like bring her back here. Crazy. Wow. Look it up on TikTok for the listeners out there. Go look up Cal Poly St. Fratty's Day 2024, and you'll see all the craziness that went down. Someone was hanging off the wire of a telephone pole. He was doing pull-ups, and then he fell off and landed on his face.
Nice.
No, he's alive?
Yep.
Alive and well.
It make him different up there, huh?
I guess. I didn't know the guy, but we got that got posted on Barstool Sports. Check it out. Crazy.
Well, Jake,
Mom, I made it.
Jake, not I appreciate you.
I was nowhere to be found.
How many pull-ups did he get in before he fell?
A couple, three or four.
That's it?
Lame.
Well, because he started waving at people, and he was holding on with one hand. It was like the other hand was off, and then that's when he fell.
Bro, got to see the mission through. No more showboating.
Job's not finished. Job's not finished.
Well, Jake, I really appreciate you.
I get something and can't do a pull-up.
I immediately regret this decision.
Just wait for it. I got But everyone, he's like, can't get his chin above on the first rep.
Okay. Jake, thanks for keeping it in a sentence. Really appreciate that. So we have, of course, big reason people clicked on this podcast. We have Micah's teammate, the Irvin Ingepeth, coming up. Also, we're going to do a quick update of the season, then get on with Irvin here. Jake, we're going to do a little differently today. We didn't prepare because this is how we roll out of system, because we live out of system.
Live out of system, baby.
Jake, let's do it here. Do it. Do it your style. Wrap it up quick. Go one by one here. Let's go.
All right, Gage Worsley, we're going straight back to you. Uno reverse card. Tell me what's been going on in your season for the last 2 weeks.
So we're in playoffs. We played a quarterfinal match against Harrison. We won. It's best out of three matches. We played them last Saturday, then we shot over straight to Poland for the finals of the CV finals. We played Rizovia. People don't know. TJ DeFalco, Samboye, Zechinowski, I think is his name. Zatorski, Luati. I mean, so many legends on one team. On paper, as I say, probably the greatest team in the world. I disagreed, but then I played against him and I kind of looked at the roster and then I was like, yeah, that adds up actually. I mean, me and Micah were literally arguing about it like a little while back. They're like, they're probably the greatest team on, and even TJ says that too. We lost, but honestly, we had a hell of a time and it was honestly an honor and a really cool experience going there with 5,000 fans just going wild in Rizovia. Huge, huge, mega volleyball city in the world. Which I learned when I was there. It was crazy. You know, you walk in practice, people had pictures of us, autographs and whatnot. Like, I'm like, why do you have a picture of us? But all right, it's not for, I'll sign it, whatever. And you know, you learn that crazy history about the club and everything. And it was absolutely bumping in there. And we did lose, but it was a really, really cool honor. And we got medals from it. My medals over there. It's pretty cool. I'm really honored. And we wrapped up our international season, and actually we're like, you know what? This year we did a lot more than people do in their entire careers. So it was really, really cool honor for us to kind of go through that season. I'm very grateful. And now we have our second match tomorrow. Well, if you're listening to this, if you're listening to this, I'll probably be in the semifinals. We have our second quarterfinal match tomorrow. If we win, we're through the semifinals. And then we start the semis when this podcast premieres. Okay, sorry, that is me. Thank you, Jake.
All right, Joe Worsley, we're kicking it to you. Shout out my friend on the Cal Poly soccer team, Emily Needham, because you guys have been absolutely cooking with gasoline recently. So kind of tell me what's been going on. First place in the league still.
Yeah, we wrapped up the first overall seed in the regular season. So that means that qualifies us for European competition for next season. And so that's awesome. Good stuff. We have one more match tomorrow night against Saint-Nazaire. And then it's confirmed we play Paris in the first round, which starts on Tuesday. So we play tomorrow night, and then we have a home match on Tuesday. So yeah, the match tomorrow night is just kind of a match. It'll be fun though. It'll be a sick crowd. We play like Jordan Ewert, Jordan Schnitzer, my last year teammates. But everything's, yeah, heading in the right direction. Now it's like the best part of the year, playoffs. So now's when we really want to be first.
You want to continue cooking with gasoline out there. Mm-hmm. Mike, I'm back to you. You, Namir, Irvin, how the boys doing?
Good. We won our last game to put us in first as well. So that's nice because we qualified for Champions League next year. And then we play tomorrow against Fenerbahce, who's in second place. But the game, like kind of like Joe's, it doesn't necessarily matter. And so I'm interested to see what that'll look like, especially because we play them in the cup semifinal on Tuesday. And so I don't know what we're going to put out there tomorrow, and I don't know what they're going to put out there tomorrow, but no matter what, we'll see them on Tuesday as well. So that's where we're at.
Is there a lot of like resting guys when games don't matter? Like, what's like the culture over there when games aren't really as important?
Depends on the coach.
Yeah, it depends. Also, there's not a lot of resting guys. I mean, like, this is a, it's just because it's the last game of the year and we just secured first place.
Yeah.
No load management over there. Not like the NBA.
Not throughout not the year. Not that much, no.
Not during the season, but if like the match doesn't like have any effect on anything, then yeah. But still, there's coaches who don't care. They'll still play the full lineup. So I don't know. I have no idea what's happening tomorrow either. By the time this releases, I will be in the middle of the quarterfinals.
With that being said, guys, let's get on to the interview with the Urban Ingepeth. We are now joined by probably the most impactful player, if not ever. Also, the greatest rapper volleyball player of all time, as well as Olympic gold medalist, French outside, Urban Ingepeth. Thank you, Urban. Thank you, Urban, for coming on the podcast. I hope I did you justice. I don't do many people know that you're a big time rapper? Do they know that or no?
Yeah, I think yeah. It's my favorite passion after volleyball, and like I put my music every time on social media. So I think everybody know right now. Yeah.
How often do you how much time do you spend writing music outside of volleyball?
I think I write almost every day. The problem, the biggest problem I have is to find a studio or go to record, especially when I am like in Turkey or when I was in Russia, you know, it's not easy. But I'm writing every day. I'm writing. Okay.
Every bus ride, he just sits there in his little corner and just just writes the entire, bro, 8 hours, like turns on a show and just writes, dude.
Irvin, have you written Micah into any of your new songs? You know, Micah's got a name for himself too. Yeah, written Micah in anything?
Of course, I heard the song of Micah. When he was playing in Poitiers, we already speak about this because he was playing with my brother. And it's now, I think, 5 years we supposed to make one song.
Yeah.
And we don't find the time.
Yeah, the issue is it's Irvin and me. This is the problem. Like,
bro, he's writing 8 hours. You're telling me you just can't go to the back and go write with him? I mean, there's plenty of opportunities.
You know how I am, and you know how this That's guy fair. Is.
Just you got to record it in the bathroom on the bus. Like, I have bathroom now. Let's record this.
Irvin, is it true? I looked this up on Wikipedia. Is it true that your father named you after Magic Johnson?
Yeah, my father was big fan of Magic Johnson. For real, like so much video, so much, you know, on the TV with the whole TV, whole big cassette. He decided to call me Irvin because of him. Yeah.
Did watching Magic Johnson inspire you in volleyball in any way or not really?
I don't know. I don't think so. But a lot of people think that, I think, because he have this kind of play, you know, this kind of strange play. And it's also my feeling when I'm playing volleyball to make something different, something special. But I don't think so. It's because I look the Magic Johnson when I'm young.
Okay. And Micah told me that you had a very crazy start to volleyball, or why you played volleyball. Yeah, Micah?
Yeah, just like when he was young, how he got back into volleyball. It's like, for me, I didn't know, and it's an amazing story. So
could you tell us that story?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly the story I tell you. But
no, when just how your father took you back to tour.
Yeah. I think I was 16. I was supposed to stop playing volleyball because I go in the, you know, this formation center for young people, and where you're supposed to be good at school and good at volleyball.
No chance. I'm out.
And after 2 months, they tell me, okay, Irvin, you will go back to your home, because I wasn't go to the school. Like, it was like I was staying in my bed, sleeping, just wake up for go to training. During 2 months, I do that. And after, they tell me, okay, Irvin, you out, go back to home. So my father say, okay, you don't want play volleyball. You stop and you will go to the school now. And after 6-7 months, my father became trainer of two volleyball. And this club miss one young player for the Rooster. And they say, hey, you son still playing? And my father say, yes, of course. And so I go there to, after 6 months, you know, without touch ball, nothing. I make like one, how to say, trying, you know, they want to see me 1 hour for practice. And they say, okay, we signed this guy. And my story in the professional world of volleyball start there. But I was supposed to stop playing volleyball there at 16.
Did you not love it? Why did you stop?
Yeah, it was, when I start to play, it's just because one trainer see me and say, hey, Irvin, is the moment you have to start to play volleyball for real. Like, so I take one license, go to play, and it was just because it was one easy road for me for make money, bro. Yeah. It was this, you know. And so, but I was playing football so much time. Like, I play football 8 year, like soccer, and I with all my friend. Nobody of my friend play volleyball, you know. When I was 14, everybody say like, why you go play this shit sport and everything? And I say, yeah, you're right.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. And this trainer say, Irvin, you can do something good. You have to take one license and go, just go play volleyball.
That's awesome. And then for you growing up, obviously, you have a certain style of play, you know, with very free, very loose. Was that always how you played? Or as you got older, you realized, okay, maybe the coach tells me to do this, but this is not working for me? Or did you always play very relaxed, very free?
No, I think when I was young, I started to play like this. It was also more than now, because when you grew up, you have some rules, some tactic and everything. But when I was young, I was just like, I go to enjoy. I don't care about what the coach can say. I just want to enjoy with my teammates and look good with the people are looking the game. It was just that, you know. After with the professional team, it start to be a little bit different. But you know, I see that when I go in Russia, they have like this kind of playing, like very, very straight with all the rules. And I don't enjoy when I was in Russia, not because it's Russia, but it was about the Russia style of volleyball. And it's not my kind of style. I like to enjoy. I like to play with the fans and everything. And no, I start to be like this, and I was more like this when I was younger.
Okay. Did you invent, or as far as you know, as much as you know, did you invent the on-two set, the jumping on-two set, or the on-two spike, or where did that come from?
No, the first person I see do that was Vujovic. I don't know if you know him. Now he's general manager of Perugia, you know. And it was my second year, I think, is in Modena. And we was watching the game, and one time he do this like end set. And I say, what the fuck is that? Like, I was jealous, you know. I was jealous. Why it's not me? I think about that, you know. So the day after, I arrive in training, and I make this maybe 20 times, bro. I miss 20 times. Lorenzetti was crazy, but after I start to do this every day in training and every time in the game, and the people think I invent that, but I don't.
Well, you made it.
You
the
can
most
take
famous.
The credit. I mean, yeah.
Just say yes. Just Irvin, just say yes. Just say yeah.
I invented it. Yeah, whatever.
So they're saying that you made it famous, though.
Ah, yeah, okay, maybe. Okay. Maybe.
But so, you found it from someone else.
Yeah.
So when you were younger, right, obviously you didn't have as big of, you weren't as known maybe or as famous as you are now, right, to do, as some people may say, crazy volleyball actions. So when you were younger and you used to do these things and then maybe it didn't work out, you used to mess up, would people yell at you? And then if they did, how did you handle that? Because obviously that didn't stop you.
For be honest, like it's when I was in Modena the first year and I start to make some crazy thing in training with Bruno, the coach understand us very good. Lorenzetti say before the training sometimes, okay, today you can do what you want. You can try what you want. And he let us this possibility to enjoy and make our thing. But the day after he arrived, he say, hey, today, focus about this. I don't want to see nothing about that. But we every time during the week, we have our practice to practice our bullshit. You understand what I mean?
Hey, you got to get it all out, man. Got to get it all out.
And I think this year was very important because after this kind of movement start to be, you see now, every people do that, but it's not just for the fun. They do that because, okay, if you make the normal thing, it will be high ball. No, we do that. It's maybe one against one, for sure one against two, maybe one against nobody. So no, it's something also important for the game.
That's true. Have you seen that the beach volleyball best players in the world? Now they do this too.
Yeah, also they do this, yeah. Yeah.
So
it's great.
Because of you. Just say, we can say it was because of you. Just take, you can take the credit.
But I don't touch any money about this, bro.
The lawsuit starts now. We sue now, Irvin. We sue now.
Hey, just copyright it and you'll be good.
But so speaking of beach volleyball, what is your favorite form, version, type of volleyball that you like to play and maybe watch?
My favorite play?
Like 3 against 3 each.
Yeah. Grass volleyball, like, sand volleyball, 4-on-4, sand
for sure
2-on-2.
It's
snow volleyball.
For snow volleyball, Brooks. No, for sure it's 6 against 6. Like, it's where I enjoy and where I have more emotion. After, during summer, I come from one city where, but also in France, the most famous also in the beach is 3 against 3. Mm. You don't play like 2 against 2 during summer, or you go to the sea in the holidays, and every time we play 3 against 3. But the most where I have the most emotion and when I enjoy more so is the 6 against 6, bro. It's like, to be honest, I don't like beach volleyball, bro.
Why?
Because in France, it's not in our culture, I think. Mm. Like, if you see now all the pair, in France, they are ex-player from indoor. We don't have this formation from young people like they have, I don't know, in America, but like they have in Brazil. Like, it's crazy when you go to make one camp with the national team France against Brazil, you go there in Saquarema, you can see the young people start to training 2 against 2, you know, and prepare this guy to be big professional in beach volleyball. And I think in France, for now, we don't have this culture.
Yeah. You play grass volleyball?
What?
Grass. You, I know.
What the?
Like in the field. In the field. Like, bro.
I've seen this in France.
On the ground.
Ah, no, no. No.
Yeah. We play this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
No.
I've seen this in France. They have big tournaments. I know you win like a TV, a television, if you win the tournament. I don't know.
Three tournaments, yes, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of in France, like they make the
tour.
All the region.
Yeah.
You know, have the big tournament, 3-3, and you can win TV money, bottle in the club.
That's important.
That's what we like the best.
Yeah. How does for the French national team? I'm a libero. French liberos are maybe the best. Well, obviously Grebennikov is top, but how do you train defense and also liberos on the French national team?
The first thing is like when we are young. I don't know if it's the secret, but it's what I see when we was young. Everybody make everything. It's also why I think our, like Tognotti was, when we was young, Tognotti was libero. It why he's good in defense, you know. Everybody make everything. Genia was setter. Genia play also outside hitter. Because Genia is so strong also in attack, you know. He can place outside it, I'm sure. So I think it's because when we are young, we don't have one position. Everybody do everything. And after, yeah, I don't know, bro. With the libero, we are, because there is Genia, of course, but before we was with Eno, Exiga. Now we have, okay, yeah, Genia. Now we have Jazzy, so good, amazing. So yeah, I don't know, bro. It's also, bro, they fire me from this formation, bro, after 2 months. I don't see what they do.
See how they train, bro.
Do you wait, why did they fire you? Because you hate libero or you just don't care or why?
No, because he didn't go to school, he means. Like at the place they're training the young players, like he didn't get to see.
That's true. Hey, do you want to coach after volleyball? Do you coach volleyball? No, after
impossible. Like because my father is coach, I see this life, bro. Is first of all, I can't do again this life. You know, luggage, plane, hotel, no, don't see family and everything. And after, I think for the coach is so much, they have more pressure than player. If we lose, okay, we lose. But the first person is the coach. And I don't think I have this patience, bro. So
yeah,
I don't think it's for me. But everybody, my father first, he tell me, you will see. I was saying the same thing. But in 1 year, in 2 years, you can change your mind and maybe, I don't know. Mm.
But how much longer do you think you will play?
It's difficult, bro. It's difficult.
Bro. No. I remember last year when we played you. I believe this is the right way. I remember I look over and I look at you and it's before the game and you were warming up. You had your head on a ball and you were just sitting there and no warm up. You come in the game, bounce some balls. And I was like, this is the way. This is the perfect way to play volleyball. Because I think this. I think if I hate, you know, team warm ups when the coach, the trainer makes you run before the match, makes you do this, that. It's too much. It's too much.
I like free warm up, bro. I like it's crazy. It's crazy. And
it's true.
But sometimes you can't, like this season, we never have free warm up. When I was in Italy, never free warm up, bro. It's great. And sometimes I think it's important for the player to prepare his game in the head, you know. It's not about, because with the adrenaline and everything, you will be ready physically to play and start the game. It's more important, I think, is on the head. But when you, for your first question, bro, I will push until the next Olympic Games, I think, if physically I'm okay. But the thing is, like, I don't will stay in national team if some young player arrive, like, and they are ready to play. I don't will be the man, like, no, I will stay. I'm Irving and I won't take one place. You understand what I mean? It's very important to go when is your time and when the good generation arrive. If it's your time, you just have to go home, bro.
Time to go home.
Pack it
hey,
up.
Hey, Irvin, if you were to go and you had to pick, you were drafting a team that you were going to play on and you had to take one setter that you played with your entire life, which setter would you take?
Outside of Micah,
for your style. Yeah, you can't take Micah. Well,
I make six, seven season with Bruno, bro. So, like, we know each other, like, at the end, bro, we don't have to speak about nothing. Like, it was so crazy. And for sure, Bruno. And after, I will say, Tognutti, we start to play together at 14 years old. Like, it's not the same player, but I have the same feeling with Tognutti also, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't play with so much setter.
Yeah, you played with Bruno and Tognutti a lot.
Yeah, I play with Tognutti a lot in national team. I play with Bruno in Modena. But after, I don't like... I play with Gribic when I'm arriving in Italy. Also, I have every time chance to play with good setter, you know. But I make 7 years with Bruno in Modena. So we have this feeling.
Tough to beat.
Yeah, we have this feeling. Is crazy.
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Where does Micah rank all your setters?
You're the best team every time. Best setter in the world, dude.
Yeah, this is
throw you into the fire, true, baby. True.
But bro, no, for be honest, Micah, I think it was, I speak with Tognutti when he was in Ankara 2 days ago. I go with him most offensive setter I play. You understand what I mean? And I think he have again this feeling about outside eater, and you can see in training, bro, sometimes he spike better than us. You understand what I mean? So I think I'm sure he can be the one of the best setter in the world, but some setter, bro, start to set at 14 years old, like Tognutti, like Brizard. Bruno, I think at 1 year old, he start to set, bro, you know? So I think Micah need, maybe, bro, I give you 4 years. Time. 4 years for real to be one of the best in the world, for sure.
Ooh, that's impressive.
Micah, that's a big thing to live up to.
I'm sure.
No pressure, Micah. No pressure, Micah.
No, Micah. Just some time, bro. I just need a little bit more time.
Question for Micah about Irvin. Micah,
yeah.
What is the biggest thing you had to get used to when playing with Ingepeth, Irvin?
That I needed to get used to?
The biggest thing
you needed to learn.
Learn about his game and adapt to and how to play with him and set with him the best way possible.
Dude, honestly, really nothing, which is crazy, but like he's really easy to play with. Impressive. It wasn't like it wasn't anything. I mean, recently watching from the bench, I realized how like he doesn't seem like he has long arms, but he does. And I realized it when setting him, like I've set him a few times too high and he just extends, like he just puts his arm longer somehow. And then catches it. I'm like, wait, what the heck? Your arms are long? Easy. But you never, like, I didn't ever notice. So I realized this like 2 weeks ago after playing with him all year.
Like, you tell me this.
Hey, at least figure it out at some point.
I was like, dude, you have long arms. But no, other than that, nothing. Like, he's just so free out there that, like, it makes you feel more free. And we have a good relationship just because we are
we're two people that in the volleyball world, like we enjoy, like,
yeah,
I don't know if there's a lot of players out there that are playing volleyball that enjoy as much as us. So it's fun to have another guy that's out there, like, just having fun.
For sure. For sure. Jake and Joe, do you have any more questions? Cause I have one fun thing I want to do with Irvin, before we let them go. Jake and Joe, do you have any more questions or no?
No, yeah. Let's ask them.
My question was, what's been like the hardest team and the hardest process that you've been on to like succeed on your own and succeed as a team?
I will tell you the national team in Tokyo. Because we know each other so good, but we lose this two first game against USA and Argentina. And it's like after these two lose, like if we don't know each other anymore. And we have 2 days to fix all the problem we have. And it was like new team, you know, like, okay, I finally don't know him. I don't know him, but we played together during 10 years. And this situation was new for us. It was crazy. And, bro, the first time we do this in our life, we sit together and we speak so hard during one night and we come back like this, but I'm not the guy like you. I think also Micah, you can see that for me. When we have some problem, when we play bad, I don't like to be with the team and mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. to be the guy like, hey, we have to do that, or what is the problem mm-hmm. there? What?
Yeah.
I like to be leader, technique leader, and right. fix it during the practice.
Right.
Just playing, you know, or during the game. And for the first time, I do this exercise, you know, like a old man from the team, like leader from the dressing room. And it was not easy for anybody. And bro, we fix it after 2 days. We return, and at the end, we win the Olympic Games. But I know if I don't do this discussion this night, I'm sure we don't win after the Olympic Games.
Dang, that's crazy.
And did you know once, what was the first match you won after the meeting?
After the meeting, who did you play? Brazil
meeting
in after this discussion.
We play Russia against Russia.
Russia. And when you played this, did you win?
We win.
And did you feel like, oh, we did?
Everything changed.
Yeah.
Everything changed. Everything okay. changed.
Got you. And one more question before we do something fun. What is before the match starts? What is something you like to do on a game day, a match day, before the match? Is there something that you have, a process or a routine that you like to do?
In every dressing room is different. I don't have something personal like I like to do, like, but like his national team, the dressing room is like a club, bro. Like everybody dance, everybody sing together. Like freestyle, everybody rap. You know, in Turkish, everybody, in Ankara, everybody is in his word. Some speak with some guys, sometime music, sometime no. I think all dressing room is different. Like in Russia, I was my music on my, I was alone to prepare my game, but I like to be like
together.
For me, the best feeling I have before one game I have in national team, from the hotel to the game, it's like, bro, music, everybody singing, and it's also one. I think the pressure go like this also, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was Russia the hardest place you have played because the culture is so different?
Yeah, I think the yes, because the culture is different, because it's not
COVID too.
Yeah, it was COVID also. I was alone without family. I stayed almost two seasons alone there. But yeah, it's not my the most difficult for me. It's not my place for play volleyball. But it's not because it's not the type of volleyball I like. Yeah. So I have to adapt every day. Like I remember one day I tried to make spike and cover.
Yeah.
And the coach go on me and say, "Hey, what are you doing? We don't do that here. Spike high and spike strong, bro."
Over. You know, it's my over, bro.
You know this, so it was difficult for me, but bro, it was good experience also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing, Irvin. I have three videos, okay?
Three videos,
okay. All of your plays. I call this, "What Was Irvin Thinking?" So I show you the video.
Okay.
And then you tell me what you were thinking, anything you remember from this moment, okay?
Okay.
Okay, this is... for our listeners, this is Champions League, Ankara, Halbank. Of course, Ingepeth is serving match point versus Piacenza. But let's just watch and see.
Ingepeth serving. Three match points for Ankara. And what a way to finish it! Ingepeth with an ace for Ankara to win away at Piacenza. On his Champions League debut for the club. What a story for Halbank Ankara.
Okay, Irvin, what were you thinking after the match when you run around the court?
This is like one celebration from football player, you know?
Should have just ripped off your shirt.
I want to go on the knee, you know, like, but everybody was already there.
This is amazing.
So good emotion. This games was so good.
Was this one of your favorite aces?
I don't know, but it was, I think, was the first game very important to have after Super Cup.
Yeah.
And
we how to say?
At that moment, we were playing good too.
Yeah. And so when we win this game, I think everybody thinks like, "Oh,
yeah, they're serious." Yeah, they can do something.
Yeah.
Okay. Video two now. So this was one more question I had. Did you invent or see someone do, as we say, the Ingepeth?
But I do this like during training, same things at the end of one training, like joking. And I start to do in training, but I don't do this with national team during summer, you know. And this ball arrived because it was very shit pass from Tonucci. Very shit. And I know it's match ball, and I try to do and it's working, you know, but it's not like I prepare, just feeling, bro.
So did you see someone do this before or start?
No.
Okay. So now.
I don't steal this one. I steal the first
one. So you made this one up. This is yours.
You have to make money. You have to make money off this, Irvin. Okay. One more video.
Hey, he sells it. Do you sell the t-shirt with Adidas or
not yet, but we do the t-shirt.
He will sell an Adidas collaboration with Irvin with the, and it's sick, bro. The basically like the logo on it, like the NBA logo on it or whatever on the shirt. It's him in that position, like the backwards
spike.
No
way.
That's legit.
That's so cool. When does this shirt drop?
I think end of April.
Okay.
End of April.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We will get this shirt 100%. Okay. Last video. Can you guys see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes!
Okay. What was Irvin thinking? And Micah.
I think this one we do during practice, but like without speak, you know, before. We do one time in practice or two times. And yeah. I see he was making the short service. I go and I say, okay, let's go. I go straight. But I wasn't. I wasn't sure Micah will give me, you know, because we don't practice.
You the, Perugia, that we're losing. No problem. I'll try it.
Yeah. But also amazing. Because, you know, we was losing 2-0.
Yeah.
It was like we have to change something, do something crazy in this third set for try to change the game.
That's amazing.
That reminds me.
I'll do it myself.
No, but we tried. But it reminds me because two days ago we were at Serve and Pass, and me and our other setter were setting into the targets, and Irving and Gordon and some other guys were receiving, and the ball went like pretty far towards the receiver, towards the outside hitter. And all I hear is Irving yell like, change everything. And I said it back and I was dying of laughter because I've never heard it said like that. Like in America, we'd be like, oh, reverse the flow or something. But for him, like to say change everything, like, and the way he said it was basically like, just make something ridiculous, like make something crazy, bro. Just do it. Just do it. And it was hilarious.
Fuck it. Do it.
Do it live.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Okay, we know it's late in Turkey. That's it for us, Irvin, and also Micah. Thank you so much, man.
Guys,
this is a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thank you so much, guy.
Okay, peace out.
Bye.
Always a pleasure to be amongst the volleyball legends, Irvin Ingepeth, a true volleyball icon. Also, Micah's teammate must be sick, Micah. I remember I looked up, I was like, oh, there's not like a lot of media. So the fact that he's down to come on the podcast is like super awesome. So super cool guy. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. And also not in his obviously native language. So that's gotta be, you know, it's not gotta be the most comfortable thing. So again, we appreciate his time and, he's a really, really cool guy. So thanks for looking that up, Micah, too.
Yeah. He's funny. We got a good vibes.
But let's get to it. Okay, let's wrap it up here. What do we got? What city are we guessing today as part of the tour?
Knoxville, Tennessee. Is that correct?
Rocky okay. Top, baby.
Rocky Top. Also,
that's my national champion, by the way, in my March Madness bracket. Shout out, go Vols.
Dude.
Where? Bro, I saw you. Jake Myers, with all his, you know, whatever he's got, is in last place out of all of us in that.
Hey, we just got to wait. I picked a couple wrong upsets because, you know, I was trying to go in with the a lot of the big upsets in the first round that didn't happen just because, you know, you get like triple the points if you pick upsets. So
that is true.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw
I
that.
Did,
but,
I
you know,
do remember that now.
If
probably
so, like
thrown in some. Yeah, that's
yeah.
That's
if it's smart. Like a 14-3, if a 14 beats a 3, you get 12 points. And
yeah,
each game
yeah,
is worth
yeah, that's
one.
Smart.
Like,
that's
ridiculous.
Smart.
And especially these teams that are, you have them losing in the next
if you
round,
have them
even
next,
losing, in the,
losing
round,
in the next round, then just
like, I have them losing in the round of 32, and I'm like,
not worth
screw
one
it.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Cause at the end of the day, it's more
you're
points
right.
per round.
You're
so
right.
That's what I was doing. But
you're
Auburn's
right.
going
so,
all the
you're
way.
You're
so
smart, bro.
That is War smart, Eagle. Actually. So,
hey, Micah, before we do this quiz, can I give, if we have any new listeners out there, we do this quiz. Basically, we're going on a big summer tour. We host a bunch of camps and clinics and also tournaments. So we go stop by stop every podcast. And so far, we are on, where are we today? What did we say we're on today?
Knoxville, Tennessee, boys.
Rocky
Knoxville,
Top.
Tennessee. And if you guys want to take a look or sign for our camps, clinics, tournaments, links in the bio, guys. Meet us in person as well and hopefully learn a thing or two about volleyball. Micah, let's get to it. What's the score right now?
Rounding out the bottom of the pack, Jake Myers has 0 points.
Oh, every competition, Jake's at the bottom.
Hey,
start
I believe,
from the bottom
I believe
yeah.
Gage, do you have three and Joe has two?
Nope, I have two.
Or is it?
No, it's two.
This is our fifth
podcast. 2-2-0.
Okay, 2-2-0 it is. So this is a woman. I'm going to give some hints so that this goes quicker because sometimes it gets long. She is a woman. She was born in 1986. So she is what, 37 years old. That's all I'm going to give you, actually. That's all I'm going to give you.
All right. Joe, Gage, Jake, in that order. Joe, go first.
Are you, is this a country music artist?
No.
Is this, musician of any artist, musician? What?
You say no, Micah?
No.
Okay.
Are they, involved in sports?
No.
86 to 37.
That's quick math, Joe. Jeez.
Is this person on live television?
Like live, live?
I think it means like news and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's like...
Like... In the entertainment, are they doing?
Yeah, so she's on television, but nothing like where it's live time. But like,
okay,
it would be on TV. Like she's
okay, but so we're talking about an actress.
Okay, well, that was my next question. Okay, okay, is she in movies rather than TV series?
She's been in both, but I would say you know her more for movies.
Okay.
See, Micah, this is where you screw me here because I don't know any actresses.
Yeah, you know, don't watch any TV shows, movies because you can't pay attention or sit in a seat longer than like 20 seconds, bro.
Jake, you know her.
Is it Sydney Sweeney?
No, she's 37.
Bro's how old Sydney bad. Sweeney?
Jake, you're so down bad. It's not even funny, bro.
Get out of here.
Joe?
Is this... Oh my gosh, Micah. Is this person like on... dating somebody famous? Or married to somebody famous?
She was dating him for a long time. I think, I don't know if they're together or not, but yeah, he's famous.
Is she an action movie star?
She's been in some good action films.
Dude, Mike, you got to give us more hints than this. It's going to take forever, bro.
She's somebody that when you're a child, like what we were, was like probably, she's probably the best looking actress from our childhood.
37.
Is it my turn?
Yep.
No, it's my turn. No, it's my turn.
Shakes. But I saw what you're going to say, Joe, and it's correct. I saw your mouth open and start with the right letter, and I think you got it.
Damn
so
it.
you better guess, Jake. Don't ask a question.
Okay, I'm trying to think. My first thought from childhood.
You gotta get on the board
was
here.
Kate Upton, but she's not an actress. Margot Robbie. No, she's from Australia. No, that doesn't count. I don't know where she's from.
That's
she's
from your
Tennessee.
Guess, bro. You can't.
No, that's not my guess. That's not my guess.
We'll give you 5 seconds, Jake. This is too long.
I'm trying to think. All right, fine. Margot Robbie doesn't count. She's not from there. I know it's the wrong answer.
Go ahead, Joe. Throw it in.
Megan Fox?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was actually watching her interview yesterday on Call Her Daddy.
Damn.
I was.
Dude, I didn't even know who Megan Fox was until a couple weeks ago. Like I couldn't recognize her until a couple weeks ago because I saw her in New Girl, and I was like, I don't know anything. I can name you like five actors and actresses.
That's incredible.
I was watching New Girl, and I was like, who is that? They're like, that's Megan Fox. And I was like, oh, that's Megan Fox. Like I know the name, but I don't know the face, you know?
That's incredible.
Because Jake's a little younger than us, remember? Like Megan
I do know that. Yeah, she was kind of just big in the movies when we were younger. She hasn't been in any.
What movies is she in?
As an older person. Transformers is what really blew her up.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Jake, what's the last movie you watched, bro? When? What was it?
I had to watch a movie for a class last week.
No, Jake. When you went out of your freaking way.
I don't know. I watch a lot of TV shows. Like I watch a lot of like the modern
The new generation
family,
can't even
like,
watch movies.
I can Jake, watch movies, but I don't have time.
An iPad kid, Jake. You're literally an
iPad
kid.
I'm literally not an iPad kid. I don't even know how to work iPads.
Jake, when's the last damn movie you watched? When's the last movie you watched? You got to answer the question.
I don't know. I watch a lot of TV shows, but I don't watch a lot of movies. It's TV shows and live sports.
Let the record say Jake cannot recall the last time he watched a movie.
I probably watched like some Pixar movie a couple weeks ago, probably. When I was sick. There we go. A month ago, I was really sick, and I was in bed for 2 days, and I watched the entire Cars series.
All right, that's respectable.
Oh, touche. Touche. Cars is a great series.
I love all the Pixar movies.
Okay. Well, that being said, guys, again, also, if you want to look, if you want to join us on tour, all you got to do is sign up for any of our stops. We have like 20 stops. It's pretty wild. And also,
The Luau registration is open, by the way. Everybody go sign up for that.
The Luau registration is open. Our Hawaii 4-man grass volleyball tournament on Oahu is open. So link in the bio for that as well. Also, we just dropped our new merch. Obviously, Live Out of System flag between myself and Jake. Obviously, I'm wearing the New Balance Dry Fit T-shirt Out of System style.
It's also not New Balance, Gage.
Oh, my bad. New Era. but many, many, many other stuff
there's
as well.
There's a collab. If we ever get there, that'd be unreal.
Yeah. One day. But there's a lot of different stuff. Also, the new Slunks dropped as well. Link in the bio. Guys, boys, always a pleasure. And remember, guys, if you can't handle the heat, goddamn kitchen, because that has been another episode presented by Out of System.